What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are here. It's Tuesday night. Daddy's away. Alex is not here. That's why you're not hearing his dulcet tones. I have a vacation shirt on that I'm realizing matches the poster behind me in a weird way.
Yeah, you're up in the Adirondacks, it looks like.
I'm not, though. I was for a very long time. Now I'm back in Brooklyn, New York. Pete, I heard that you came to New York when I was away as if the till was left open and you had to rush to the city to try to take control.
Yeah, it was rough, man. I showed up and I was like, hey, Justin, I'm here. It's my birthday. And you were like, oh, dude, I'm going to the Montreal Comedy Festival, which you made That's up this whole thing.
Yeah, that was a huge lie. Yeah, everything in Canada stays in Canada. It seems like that is
How
true
was
so
Montreal?
Far. Very fun, a lovely place. I was up there doing some work. I directed New Faces Writers, which was Ooh. Like a table read, and it was very cool. I've just gotten confirmation from Alex that we don't need to press a record button just to let you know how it's going, a little behind the scenes. But speaking of behind the scenes, what say we bring out our first guest?
All right, let's do it.
And, you know, there's a responsible way to be, and that's what this this first guest is all about. Please welcome the man in charge of a brand-new comic featuring a great friend of ours, Smokey the Bear. Please welcome out James Macia, everybody.
Hey, welcome. Welcome. How are you?
Hello, James.
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing great. All right. Has forest safety ever been more in our world? Is that what has brought Smokey the Bear back to the public consciousness? How did this come about for you?
Well, he's never really left. I mean, if you take a look, I mean, like, you can find, you know, commercials and billboards and everything of him, you know, all over the place.
There he is.
And I do have to... Yeah, I do have to correct you, though. It's not Smokey the Bear. It's just Smokey Bear.
Oh, I was
always no the in his name.
Really?
Yeah, when we got the license for it, that was like the very first thing that we were told is that there
it's
is
just
no
Smokey
the
Bear.
In his name. Yep, it's just Smokey Bear.
Oh, wow, that's crazy. But yeah. I've never heard anyone say it without the.
Yeah, I know. I always said the.
Yeah.
Wow. I was giving him so much more credit, but he's an authoritative figure. We're looking at him on screen right now for those of you listening. He's a jacked bear that wears like straight up jeans that are, let me be honest, pretty tight. He's got a belt buckle that says Smokey and a hat that also says Smokey. He's an intimidating figure.
You got to match. Yeah. You know what I mean?
James, for you, what has changed in Smokey Bear's time since we last heard from him?
I mean, he's no longer trying to prevent forest fires.
What?
He's trying to prevent wildfires.
Oh, okay. Phew, I got nervous.
Yes, change.
He's causing forest fires now.
Yeah, no, not causing them.
Yes. Wow, is that sort of what the response is here, where wildfires are such a big, bad part of our modern world? Yeah, so it's time for Smokey to come out. Because the comic itself is going to be the same sort of educational message, but mixed with a fun story.
Yeah, it's definitely geared towards a younger audience. It's for kids and everything, and... it's, you know, Smokey is going to come out. The kids are at the beginning trying to build a campfire, and they're doing it completely wrong.
Oh, those kids.
And, you know, Smokey comes out and he teaches them, you know, the correct way to do a fire so that they don't burn down the whole forest.
Nice. Great. Well, I mean, I grew up on the old G.I. Joes and stuff like that where they had the PSAs at the end. So, yeah, I mean, I love the fact of, you know, you get a little education. Yeah, exactly, bro. Winning is half the battle. Yeah, so educate as you're having some fun here. It's nice to see Smokey Bear. I'm excited to kind of read this. And, I mean, for you, like, was Smokey a big part of your life growing up? Like, you know, I definitely remember... like the commercials and all that kind of stuff. And we would go on trips. There's, you know, my parents would always be quoting Smokey at me.
I just passed. I was in upstate New York. Every small town fire department has a Smokey stand up out front.
That's the thing right outside the fire department. Yep.
I mean, when I was a kid, it was like, you know, it was a cartoon. It was a comic. I felt always like connected to this guy, this bear, but I don't really know anything about him. So when you got in to work on this, like, did you have to think about like what more is there to this character that's mostly just telling us a very specific message?
It's actually quite the opposite. The U.S. Forest Service gave me this like 50-page book.
Oh wow!
On the Smokey
Bible.
I have to abide by it. It's like the Bible for Smokey.
Wow.
What are some of the more surprising things that you found in the Smokey Bible?
Like those Smokey belt buckle must be visible at all times, or like
the Smokey belt buckle and the Smokey on the hat on every image must be visible.
Wow.
There it is. Good call.
The shovel must always be in the position that you see it in the comic, the picture here where he is holding it with the spade pointed up.
Yeah.
Wow.
Rather than pointed down. He carries the bucket of water with him everywhere as well. And the one that really threw us is that Smokey is not allowed to touch anybody. Nobody is allowed to touch Smokey.
Wow. Oh,
interesting. Because is a terrifying wild animal at his heart.
Yes.
Well, now I see why they put both things in both hands. You know, that way he can't, you know what I mean? He'd be like, oh, kid, hey, I'd like to shake your hands, but... You know,
if he sets that bucket down, he's mauling a child. He's one step away from eating. I mean, imagine, like, you're a kid making a campfire. What comes out to educate you but your worst nightmare from a camping perspective? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, not for nothing, you know, the one kid, like, freaks out, oh, my God, it's a bear, and then, like, the other kid's like, oh, it's Smokey. And, you know.
Yeah.
Right. I guess everyone. He's the
and
most
then they
familiar
get excited.
Bear. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't get excited seeing Smokey the Bear?
Mm-hmm. Now, tell us about what. So this comic is educational. What does that mean? Where will it go? Who will see it sort of first?
Well, I don't know. well, it was on Kickstarter. It actually just ended today on Kickstarter.
Oh, wow.
Great.
And it is, we are soliciting it, starting Friday, I guess it'll be available in solicits for comic book stores. And then come the fall or winter, actually. It'll be available in a special catalog that goes out to like the national parks and the forests and, you know, like gift shops and stuff that carry this kind of stuff.
Wow.
So it'll be going all over the place. We will be, once we have a couple of issues done, we will have a book collection, and that will go out to bookstores as well.
Oh, awesome.
That's awesome. It must be exciting to have your work be at a place where it'll find more people, I feel like. This may be the first comic that a lot of kids will read, I would think. It's
built-in audience.
I hope so.
Yeah.
That's really cool. What else can you tell us about what happens in the comic? Is it just him walking out of the woods discovering poorly made fires?
Well, for this issue, yeah, it's each issue is going to be like a different aspect. This one was the campfire. Mm-hmm. But in this issue, it's just he sees the kids. The kids are, you know, making the wrong kind of campfire. He teaches them. He teaches them using an acronym called CAMP, C-A-M-P, each letter stands for something. And then he also introduces them to the mystical tree in the center of the forest that we call the Elder Tree, which also, you know, imparts some wisdom on the kids. And at the end, I mean, this is called Smokey and the Junior Rangers, or Smokey's Junior Rangers, I should say. And, you know, at the very end of the comic, he makes them Junior Rangers.
Oh, cool.
Oh, nice.
So the kids will be back in the next comic, and they'll be facing another challenge that
that's cool.
Smokey
that's great.
Will help them out with. Yeah.
So it's like a deputization kind of a thing for the
kind of,
kids. That's cool.
We got a fun question here. Easy Reader wants to know, does Smokey have any forest animal friends?
He I'm going to tell you, back in the day, because this is not the first comic for Smokey to come out, there used to be a two different publishers, one back in the 1950s, and then one in the 70s did a comic for Smokey. And the one in the 70s had a whole bunch of animal friends for Smokey.
Oh, nice.
Now, we don't know if we're allowed to touch those or not.
Oh, right. They, oh, that's interesting. So,
yeah, we don't know. And we haven't gotten a clear answer yet as to who owns the rights to those other characters. Whether it's, it was Key Comics that had published it back, you know, they're the ones that also did, like, you know, all the, a lot of TV, like TV shows and stuff. They did a whole bunch in like the 70s. So like there's a Green Acres comic that they published. There is a Barbie comic that they published back in the 70s, like a whole bunch of different things, and Smokey was one of them. But we don't know if they own it or the Forest Service owns it, and the Forest Service, I don't think, knows either.
They're like, we don't really worry about that as much as you might think. The IP. But so how did the rights for Smokey come to you? Because I feel like these, the rights for these characters is like, you, it's like a research project, I feel like.
Oh, yeah. Well, we go out to this expo in Las Vegas every year. And we had actually met with the representatives that represent the U.S. Forest Service. And we were actually, they also, it's funny because they also represent Danny Trejo.
Ah. Tracks.
And we were going there to try to do something with Danny Trejo.
Nice. Get some tacos, have a meeting.
This whole discussion about Danny Trejo, he's like, you know what, we have this other one. They're looking to get a comic done. Or would you be interested in doing Smokey the Bear? And I'm like, yeah. Smokey the Bear in a second.
You walk in to get Machete, and you walk out with Smokey.
Yeah.
It's a classic comic book storyline. Wow, so it's like sort of random that this came your way.
This one was sort of random. It just came to us, but you know, as soon as they said Smokey Bear, I was like, "Yeah, of course we want to do Smokey Bear. That's he's iconic."
Yes, and actually, we have a chef down in New Orleans, our official CBC chef, Brett Macris,
Stray Bullets,
aka Stray Bullet. Every week he creates a cocktail, and he was lit up, pun intended, by Smokey Bear here. So he's created a cocktail, I guess maybe not for the readership of the comic, but maybe for you, James. It's called After the Fire, and it's a Souchong tea, chilled elderflower syrup, orange juice, lemon juice, cinnamon, orange peel, and for adults, bourbon. So the drink can be made for a tough child who likes elderflower and chilled tea, but the bourbon is probably a necessary addition here, but definitely worth checking out, James, from our family to yours.
Yeah.
Okay. Looks good.
yeah. It's good. It's tasty.
It sounds delicious. But speaking of icons, it looks like you have an impressive nerd wall behind you there. Do you want to highlight anything for us there?
No, these are just the comics that we've published.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Exciting. Awesome.
Just different issues, you know, we have everything from the Flesh-Eating Cheerleaders to Plan 59 from Outer Space, which is a horrible sequel to a horrible movie. And I always say, if you've never seen Plan 9 from Outer Space, it is dubbed the worst movie ever made. And
yes, of course.
Reasonably so. But it's so bad that it's actually good.
Right.
Ooh, wow.
You
know, it has long since fallen into the public domain, so we decided, hey, you know what, we're going to do a sequel to it.
Nice.
That's awesome. Well, before we let you go, is there anything else you have coming out that isn't yet on your wall that you'd like to plug?
Not at the moment, actually. But we always have stuff coming out. We have new issues of the series that you see behind me. We're going to have new issues of Smokey.
Awesome.
But, you know, Nothing specific at the moment.
No, that's great. Cool. Well, Smokey's Plenty. That's got a
can't
a
wait
great
to
message.
Check that out.
It's hot out there. It's dry out there, Smokey.
Oh yes.
Yeah, you gotta be careful.
Please emerge from the woods. So you can check that out on Kickstarter. Yeah. And then solicited.
It's on Kickstarter in probably about another week and a half to 2 weeks. We'll have the backer kit open for late pledges, and then it'll be October, I believe, is when it's slated to be in comic stores.
Awesome.
Great.
Maybe, no, November, sorry.
November, that's okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we'll check it out. And James, remember, only you can prevent forest fires.
That's right.
And wildfires, as it were.
And wildfires, yes.
Thanks, James. We'll see you. That's James Masia. You can check out Smokey's Junior Rangers, as he said, on Kickstarter, and then in November in comic book stores.
Smokey Bear.
Yeah. I mean, what a... I mean, I get it. If my name was Justin Tyler, which it is, I wouldn't want to be called Justin the Tyler.
Yeah, but if people started calling you the Tyler, you know what I mean? It just...
A form of respect, you're saying. Mm-hmm. Great. Well, from one childhood favorite to another, let's jump into our next guests, I should say. They're working on a comic called Stitch.
Yeah.
One half of Lilo and Stitch, very much in the news. Please welcome out Connor Ratliff and James III, everybody.
Hey, welcome. How are you?
What's up, guys? Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, yeah.
You bet. So tell us, how did this come together? Now, you guys, I'm assuming, know each other through comedy. That's where I know you, or maybe we know you.
Yeah,
so how did you guys decide? I mean, James, we're familiar with your comic work. Connor, how did you get in on this?
Well, yeah, James and I met doing live comedy, improv comedy at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in New York City.
Mm-hmm. And then that's where Stanley and Jack Kirby met, I believe.
That's right. Where legends come to meet, New York City, and often the inspiration for many fictional comic book cities, Metropolis, Gotham.
Just to name a few.
Yeah. And parts of Duckburg.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, yeah, there's when, some real seedy parts.
When they need it to be, they'll draw on their inspiration.
Yeah, the deuce of Duckburg is just as fucked up as it was in the 70s here in New York.
Oh, wow.
And so James and I became friends and admired each other's comedy. And then there was a point where I was like, I want to do a show with James. And then James moved to Hollywood. And
nice.
So we couldn't do a show together. So then eventually we did a podcast together.
That's a great start.
Mm-hmm. Because we could do that remotely. He could stay in LA, I could stay in New York, and we record it. You know, it's like we're in the same room. And we did this podcast called Tiny Dinos that was about two best friends who are scientists who decide to bring dinosaurs back, but bring them back very tiny, so there won't be any problems.
Safe. The
smart.
Safest dinos.
Smart.
Yeah.
And one of the fans of Tiny Dinos is Nate Cosby, who is an editor at Dynamite Entertainment. And so it was his idea that James and I would be a good team to write Stitch.
One of the six fans of Tiny Dinos.
It doesn't matter how many, it's just who.
My goodness. Unbelievable.
They always say if you can reach one person, that's right. and this is the one time that's really paid off.
That's awesome. Wow. So it was a real natural step-by-step progression into this. So then... James, what was it like to get to Stitch? Like, what this is? I mean, you've done a couple other comics. This is a larger property.
I had been cold emailing Dynamite's submission email address that's like on their website for literal months prior to this, and it's fully unrelated, fully unconnected. Like Nate had no idea, Nate Cosby had no idea. That was even going on, and so it was really cool, really, really exciting. Like I was not as familiar with Stitch prior to working on this, and when it came up, and I talked to Connor about it, and Connor, big fan of Stitch, so it was like, oh, this is great.
Wow.
It works out to get to sort of co-write this thing, work on this property that I'm not familiar with someone who I know is a big fan. and who we had already been kind of working together in this way as these kind of kooky scientist characters, and getting to work with, you know, Jumba and Pleakley, the kind of kooky alien inventor and his foil, you know. It was really fun to get to kind of continue to play in that way together. So,
and you guys both hate Lilo, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. And we we came in and we said, "Look, we will only do this if Lilo is not involved."
Get her out of there.
Yeah, I mean, Stitch causes trouble because he was designed to be a weapon. What's her excuse? She gets up to all kinds of trouble.
That's true.
So you're cutting her loose. She's classic. Too problematic. You're like, God, this is...
These humans are problems.
Lilo makes a number of very crucial appearances throughout this. The premise of the comic book series is not that Lilo is on vacation and here's what happens when Stitch is left alone. But we sort of based the core trio of... if we were going to... The more accurate title for the series probably would be Stitch and Jumba and Pleakley, because they sort of are our core trend,
right.
but Jumba and Pleakley have terrible agents who are not able to get them a deal.
Not get that headline.
Top flight reps who they pushed a hard bar and they said Disney above the title, then Stitch in bigger letters, and Jumba and Pleakley, they can be but they cannot.
Yeah, they don't even get top of issue credit. Like, there's no even mention of their name. You know, they're way at the back of the credits list.
Yeah. I mean, Batman has the best agent. He is on so many books these days.
He's yeah, truly. Really.
So
yeah, don't even mess with them. The deals that he'll get.
He'll put his name on books he's not even in. You know.
Yeah. So I'm curious, like, James, what did you do? Did you like freak out and go to, you know, just start binge watching as much Lilo and Stitch as you could?
That is exactly what I did. I watched at least the first two movies. I'm now blanking on whether or not I watched Leroy and Stitch.
Okay, right.
But I watched I watched Lilo and Stitch 2 and Stitch. Right, there's those three, and then there's Leroy and Stitch. I don't know if I got to Leroy and Stitch.
And wasn't there an animated series too?
And then I watched, yes. And then I didn't start watching the series though until after we had already pitched our log lines for like what the series was going to be. But then I jumped into the series just to see sort of what this was, because initially I pitched when we were talking to Nate. I was like, oh, and he's experiment 626. We could probably like see what these other experiments are, and he was like, oh, that's the show. And I was like, oh, okay, all right, thank you. We won't do that.
We're done. We're done here.
We won't do that. but then checking that out was cool too, because they, you know, it just sort of seeing what all of the different ways that the concept has been explored already was really cool to get to kind of figure out, like, okay, where do we fit? And I feel like this series runs sort of like adjacent to the timeline that exists right now.
I mean, there is that dirty sort of the dirty Disney that nobody talks about anymore from the 90s of those sequel movies that were like a little cash grabby. And I never watched them when I was younger.
Straight to video.
My kids watch them just because they're on Disney Plus on the service. And honestly, so the Cinderella ones get into like time travel. The third one is a time travel.
Dang.
Like, yeah, it's actually pretty good. I was very engaged with that. So I feel like there's some. Did you get any value watching the deeper series of?
Absolutely. I mean, it's always so interesting to see. You know, like there's always the change in quality from the first movie to the follow-ups, because it is
well said.
This one's made quick. This one's going straight to video. This one's doing whatever it's doing. So it's and you can just sort of tell that those those theatrical-released films are, it's like there's a lot of time and a lot of attention being put into this in a very, very specific kind of way.
Except in the case of Toy Story 2, which was supposed to be straight to video, and then they accidentally did such a good job making it, they were like,
"Oh my god! Oh,
whoa!
Doing too well. This can't be what we're doing." Like, one of the rare examples of something being made at a certain level where we're just like, "Oops, this is great."
You succeeded, yeah. Yeah, we're definitely in the opposite timeline from that now. So then what was it like actually working on this? Connors, this is your first comic. What was it like sort of getting, and I know you've worked in so many different sort of mediums over the years.
It's funny because my enthusiasm for Lilo and Stitch is almost exclusively focused on the original movie, which I've seen many times. All of the stuff that James was doing a deep dive on is stuff that I have almost no idea. But as long as James is doing all that research, I'm like, well, he knows it. That means I don't have to. It's actually kind of good to have, because I'll come up with ideas.
Fresh brain.
Not inhibited by whether or not, and then James will be like, no, they already did that. But it sort of is helpful for us to have different knowledge base of this. For me, like, I grew up and one of my big obsessions was Disney comics by Carl Barks and Floyd Gottfredson.
Original,
like, Donald Duck, Uncle Scrooge, the original Mickey Mouse run of things. And one of the things that the way we sort of approach this is, rather than worrying too much about, like, where does this fit in the continuity of, you know, the live action Lilo and Stitch has its own reality, the TV version, they're all sort of like, I kind of liked how in the old Disney comics, nobody was worried about whether this month's Mickey Mouse had any contradiction to anything else. They all had their own, each new story was its own sort of story. Mickey was who he was, but if you wanted him to be like this, you could have him be like this for one story, and next month it could be a completely different thing. And so, even within, like Don Rosa, who has done a lot of, like, the Duck comics, who's sort of, like, the next generation of Barks, he, like, drove himself crazy trying to, like, make every reference that Carl Barks
connect the dots. Oh, man.
Consistent. Wow. And every contradiction. And I kind of feel like we're maybe in an age now where the past decade feels like we – past decade and a half feels like we've been living in a continuity canon, like – where it's just like, well, if you're gonna watch Star Wars, you gotta watch 15 different things and they all explain each other, you know. And there's something about the relief of just like page one, if you know who Lilo and Stitch are, if you know who these characters are, even if you don't, you'll figure out real quick, oh, Jimmy, he seems to be a mad scientist. Pleakley seems like he's not on board with this. And then you could just, you know, enjoy it for what it is. We have a light continuity to our series, which you know, James was, to get back to your actual question, you know, I grew up just immersed in the Disney comics. And so I kind of felt like, well, I have like been sort of preparing my whole life to do this kind of thing. But James has been the person who has allowed this to not be a disaster, because with every, you know, I can write the script and then James can kind of come through and be like, this isn't going to work.
That's not what that is.
And then every now and then there'll be something where we'll be like, oh, well, this shouldn't work, but let's try it anyway, because I don't know any better not to do certain things.
Oh, that's funny. James, so for you, was that like, what was that like, getting that and being like, that's actually not possible in a comic?
Connor is exaggerating. It was less that and more like, there was a question of like, oh, what are our scripts going to look like? And like, and you know, what type of thing are we going to turn? And there's no like one way to do a comic script, but I had my way that I had been doing them. And so I just was like, okay, this is kind of what I like to do. And so that, and Connor and I would kind of swap like who's quarterbacking each script from issue to issue.
That's cool.
And so to make sure that they were like, we were turning in something that was streamlined, I would like go in and be like, okay, well, I'll move this here and I'll do kind of this like this, just so that there would be something that like was cohesive. And that's more what I did. It was less like, this doesn't make sense on a comic page, because frankly, any time we're able to kind of do something that either feels different or looks different or just like, I'm not sure in the description of this how this is going to look. I'm interested in what this artist is going to do. We're all for that, because that's the exciting part of this, of collaborating in this way, is like sort of seeing like, what are these words going to inspire the artist to do, you know, or how is this ultimately going to look in the end?
I'm sort of like a baby bird in this process, where everything that James
Jonathan, he's feeding you mouth to mouth. Yeah, I got you.
Everything he spits in my mouth, I sort of feel you like, love. Oh, this is what it's supposed to be. Until I do a comic on my own or with someone other than James, I'm not going to know. I'm going to, maybe later on, James,
lied to me.
I can feed myself.
What was this?
Yeah.
But it is, it has been fun. It's fun living in the Google Doc with James where, you know, we're sort of figuring out what works and what doesn't. And there's another title we're working on now that hasn't been announced yet.
Exciting.
I'm teasing it without any specifics just to say that I said, hey, let's try writing it this way. And the way that
I can't.
The way that we've been writing Stitch, we came up with what all the ideas were. We pitched the ideas. Those ideas got approved. And then we'd sort of outline it. We'd approve each outline. And then we'd start, one of us would start writing the script and then the other would take a pass at it. With this new one that we're writing on, I just started blazing through. No outline. I'm just writing. Good. I'm like, James.
I can't keep James up with, like, Connor. I can't.
And you're like, oh no, another very long email from Connor. What'd I do?
And it's a 28 page.
No.
Oh my God.
And we got to page, I got to page, I think 17 today. I started it 2 days ago and I was like, 17, James, we're going. And finally James today was like, Connor, how about you stop, and I'll do the last 11 pages. I was like, that's great.
Because
actually, James, I didn't know what I was going to do next because I just blazed through these.
That's what I said, and that's exactly how I said it, too.
Yes, good. But, I believe that.
But it's been very exciting because we, you know, every part of the process has been, it's even for Stitch, it's been different for each issue because the things that Jumba is inventing in Stitch change the nature of what each issue is in the sense that if he invents a certain thing that bends reality a certain way, the issue's reality gets bent that way. So it's sort of like, oh, well, it's going to look and feel like this. We had our first issue, which comes out on August 13th, has one kind of story. And James was really he took the first pass at the script of that one. And then it was my turn for the second one. And I will say this. It's not every other one for people who try to figure out after.
Oh yeah, it won't.
It's not every other one.
It's not going to stay. It's consistent.
We mixed it up. Who was quarterbacking it? But the second one was so crazy that I thought we were going to get a million notes on it because it was the first time I'd ever written their script where I was saying the lead, and I thought, oh, they're going to have so many notes. This is too bonkers. And then we got like two notes on very like not the things
the
I thought.
The tiniest we were gonna stuff. On.
And then when we got the art by Greta Xella, they had done this thing which was like a device for how, like, because the second issue has to do with body swapping, where there's an invention where people are swapping people and things and animals and everything's swapping what's inside, sort of like swapping shells in a way.
Yeah.
So you have the whole script. You have, like, Pleakley's talking, but it's really Stitch. And I was like, I don't know how they're gonna draw it. And the way that they drew it is there's sort of like a whoever's speaking, whatever the body is, the word bubble has this almost like little emoji button the thing that is, oh, that's who's really talking.
And it, oh, cool.
And it was smart. Really elegant looking when I saw it. I was like, oh, this is kind of fun because you kind of visually, you both feel it and you also feel like you're solving it while you read it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
I feel like the Disney Dynamite comics have been so good and specific. Yeah. Like, it's such the whole line has taken each character that they focus on and just jumped in made such strong choices into a direction. The was the Maleficent series, Pete, that you loved?
Yeah, that was really
was
good.
So good and really, like, high fantasy, like, pretty dark. So, like, it's really exciting that they're continuing that by going so, like, fun. I want to say madcap. Is that a word I could put on?
Yeah,
your
they
book?
Kept telling us get weirder. And when I say hey, it was Nate who was like, I wanted you guys to do it because you guys are weird, and I want to be weird. And I'll say this, like, you know, the worry that I think both of us might have had a little bit at the beginning of this. The first thing they came at us with, well, it was like there are some rules. You got to follow these rules, and most of the rules were things that were just very basic, like. be respectful of the reader. Don't like.
Don't break a window if you're mad. Don't drink basic, and fight.
They were basic things like I don't even want to give examples because it feels like I feel respectful of the rules process.
Don't get yourself in trouble.
Don't blow up the rules on a podcast. Yeah, is the last rule.
They were things that I don't think there were any rules where James and I were like, well, we really wanted to do that. Now we can't. You know?
Right, yeah.
They were all things that were kind of almost like borderline insulting in the sense of like, we never would have done that. I mean, and it was such a relief then because with very few exceptions, and usually it was something because they were like, don't do this just because it, you know, the Disney World is a big realm. And they were like, this actually bumps up against another thing we're doing that we can't tell you about that. It's like, just, you know, it's not a bad thing you did. You just can't, you know, it would be like if we wrote an issue and like, accidentally, it's like that's the plot of Secret Wars from Marvel,
right? Yeah,
you know, like
which I don't know how you guys landed on it.
Literally several times they said
done screenplay for the Secret Wars movie,
and that's crazy because they haven't even written the movie they're filming now. So the fact that you guys somehow landed on it is amazing. Really amazing. I wanted to ask for as a first time writer, Connor, writing comedy in comics, coming out of comedy. How did you have to adjust sort of the way that you like pace a joke? I think comedies, it seems especially harder in comics because not a lot of people are good at it, I feel like.
I mean, it's interesting because I'm not a hard jokes guy in any comedy that I do. It tends to be behavioral or situational. So a lot of it to me was about, like, I feel like 95% of my comedy is just failed drama. You just take something so seriously and then you present it to the world and everyone's like, that's hilarious. And you're like, okay, I guess I'm no artist.
I believe that, audience.
But a lot of it to me is just, I sort of was, you know, like, I know I pulled so much influence from like what I enjoy about Carl Barks' Duck comics that to some extent it's just thinking like, well, what's my version of that? Like, Carl Barks was a guy who started doing comics when he was in his 40s after he'd basically done every job under the sun. He'd been, you know, every job you ever see Donald Duck try to do in a Carl Barks comic is probably something that Carl Barks did when he was trying to figure out his life. And so to some extent, it's trying to like pull on what are things that I'm obsessed with or that I'm like curious about. And try to like fold that in and try to like, I like the way he had a way of doing stories where it sort of was he would think about a version of the world he was living in and be like, what's the duck version of that? You know? Mm. And I think like, even just looking at when we were first going through the script for the first issue, James has set up a thing that I'm like, oh, this feels very much like it's a version of our world now. And it is the kind of thing that you would have read in any of the classic Duck comics where it's like Duckburg was sort of a mirror to like what's going on now, you know?
Yeah. So you're saying Carl Barks was really writing from a perspective of someone in their 40s pivoting into like a bad economy? Okay. Interesting.
I think
about that a little bit, maybe a lot. So James, for you, what was it like coming to this comedically? Because, you know, you've got a decent amount of experience at this point writing comics.
I mean, I would say the thing I tried most to do was to try to figure out how Connor and I can collaborate together and how to use this sort of new thing to my advantage as best I could, you know, like because I've been spending a lot of time mostly thinking about like what do I think is funny and how do I get that across and so. Really trying to figure out how to blend the two when we're working together and like if I'm on top of a script, making sure that Connor's humor is like the writing for Connor that would then start to happen from issue to issue was really fun. And then the other thing, that I'm really trying to figure out, and I don't know if I ever will, is the thing of like where I spend a lot of time being like, this camera angle is how this joke is going to sell to me.
Oh, you know? Interesting.
And,
yeah.
And really trying to make sure that I am communicating that as clearly as possible. And it does. And sometimes it works really well, you know, like it works, not sometimes it works better than others. I more mean that sometimes what I had in my head is the thing that was illustrated, right. You know, and then other times it's not, but it's still, you know, it's yeah. You know, being able to let go of
right.
this very specific image yeah. that I had in my head.
You're like, no, I said 32 degrees. 32 yeah. degrees is yeah. where the comedy is. You go 45 yeah. and it's not there.
No good.
The other thing truly, is I think that both James and I, like, we haven't even, this is not something that either of us has said out loud particularly, but like
I love you
writing writing an all ages comic, like a funny animal comic that is appropriate for all ages is different than writing something that's for kids,
right? Yeah
and I anytime we're writing these things, I'm writing them for James. And I think James is writing them for me. I just want James to like it. James just wants me to like it. I think that's is that true,
absolutely
James?
1,000%. That's sweet.
We haven't said that. But it's basically just like it's the kind of comedy that you. It's the kind of thing that you do for your friends to make your friends laugh, and yeah. and specifically the assignment is you got to do it within the world of Disney Stitch, which means it's very different than when we're doing Tiny Dinos, where we have no rules as far as what can happen.
Right.
We can say and do anything we want.
Yeah.
And it is. And but limitations are a good thing generally for comedy. Sort of the worst thing is when you're in a situation where it's like, do whatever you want.
Say whatever. It's cool. Whatever. Yeah, it's really cool.
that's much. I'd much rather have a situation where it's like, here are the rules. Because to some extent, like we both did UCB Tour Co, where we tour around and do shows. And sometimes you go to a place and they'd be like, here's what the audience is. And you can't say this or you can say this. And so I got in the habit pretty early on of, for the most part, just thinking like, well, I'm not going to rely on pop culture references. And I'm not going to rely on being like shocking. Like I'm not going to, like I for a long time, I don't even think I used any profanity in improv shows, even though that was the norm sort of, that everybody could do whatever they wanted. But I kind of got in the habit of like, well, I'll just see if the scene can work without that. Because I know the scene can work with it.
Yeah.
Right.
And so for this, it really was a case of like, I'm excited that like kids are going to be able to read this and like it. But my hope is that I was very aware when I was a kid and I was reading stuff or watching stuff. I was highly aware of when something was targeted at me because I was a kid. It didn't make me like it any less. Yeah. But the stuff I liked the most was stuff where I was like, I don't get all of this.
Yeah. This isn't
where
for me.
A little bit of the feeling of sneaking downstairs and your parents are watching something on TV and you're watching it.
Yeah.
And like, to me, like growing up watching like Looney Tunes cartoons or like old Bull and Clown Rocky shows, they're just filled with jokes that even now I don't get because they're referencing pop culture from decades before I was born.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, there's something about when you're a kid and you're reading something and it's not just directed right down at your level that is like, oh, that's actually how you learn in a way that's interesting. It's not like school learning. It's like, what's that joke mean?
Yeah.
I want to know what that joke. And also you learn how to figure out. I knew there were things that were funny, even though I didn't know what they were talking about. There's a thing I was thinking about. There's a Bugs Bunny Yosemite Sam cartoon where it's the one where he's doing the high diving act. Mm-hmm. Yosemite Sam paid for a high diving act.
Yep.
High diving act doesn't show up, so he was trying to force Bugs Bunny to do a high diving act.
With guns.
And Bugs Bunny keeps tricking him into jumping off the high
dive.
There's a part where he climbs up the ladder and there's a door. Yosemite Sam yells, "Open the door!" And then he looks to the camera and says, "You notice I didn't say Richard?" I've looked up what the reference is. I know what the reference is to, but it was always funny.
Yeah.
Knowing what it was about didn't make it any funnier to me because I would have to go back and live it and learn it. But it was always funny to me as a kid. And I'm like, that's funny. I don't know why. I hope there are jokes in our comics that some kid is going to read and be like, that's funny. I don't know why.
Nice.
Yeah. Notice I didn't say Richard. Wow.
That is a wild idea to make an animated short to like light up a very particular pop culture moment that's still being played to this day. You mentioned tiny dinos. We did get a question from Schoikler here for you. What more would you each want to bring to comics? Tiny dinos comics. Now, obviously, you're working on something that's a secret, but how does this question hit?
Well, I mean, tiny dinos comics, we'd certainly be open to it. I can imagine it happening. I can't imagine at this moment in time who would invest in it. Because we just never got a big audience. We got a loyal audience, but they were very few in number. I think for at least the near future, until James and I have maybe a reputation where people are like, we just want to see what James and Connor have come up with, I think the future is going to be not Tiny Dinos comics, but other licensed things that Dynamite is curious for us to write on. I mean, James has the Powerpuff Girls Summer Special.
Super excited about that, man.
Which is, I had nothing to do with. I'm looking forward to reading it.
Tell us about it, James.
It's their summer one shot. It's my one mandate was it had to have something to do with summer. I started thinking about like what I love about Pop-Up Girls is the sort of rogues gallery of villains. And when I think of summer, I think of amusement parks. And so it's just what would happen if all of the villains were at the amusement park while the Pop-Up Girls were just trying to have a good time. And so that's what's happening in it. It's as many villains as I could possibly squeeze into it. And I had a ball. The difference between Powerpuff Girls and Stitch was I came in immediately. I was a day one Powerpuff Girls fan.
Right, of course. Yeah.
Still had to go back and rewatch everything. Rewatched like up through season 5 or something.
And
some of the new one from 2016, 2018, whenever that was. And it was great to get to
those old episodes still hit of Powerpuff Girls. So irreverent. They're so good. Yeah.
And also funny for adults too. I mean, there's some adult humor in those, you know.
For 100%. Sure. What else do you guys want to plug before we let you go? And separately, I guess, since we already know your next project together is Hush Hush.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, you can follow me at Rule of Three Inc., Rule of Three Comics on Instagram. And the comics that I do are all available at ruleof3inc.com, the ones that I self-publish. So please
and those
check
are
out.
Behind you, right? You got some of them right behind
you? Yeah, let's see. Some are right next to me. Hold on. This is the second issue of Junior. Supernatural dark comedy set in a Beetlejuice-esque style afterlife.
Very cool.
The third issue of that will be out soon. Okay.
Yeah. Congrats. soon. Great. And when does Powerpuff Girls come out?
And that is August 13th. Both Stitch and Powerpuff Girls.
Both.
Are out August
13th. Big.
Big
Wednesday.
Day for you. Big you just got hang out at comic book shops all day, right? Being like,
how many
this looks good.
Are there variant covers on the Powerpuff Girls summer special?
Yes. There's three trade dresses and then the versions of those and I think that's it. Six covers.
So how many on August 13th if someone wanted to buy all of the James the Third comics coming out on the 13th, will there be 13 titles that could be purchased?
It's a heavy investment.
I think potentially more because there are so if you go to the Dynamite website and look at all of the variant covers of Stitch, there are like maybe 20.
Shouts to the Jay Lee cover, by the way. That's dope.
Oh yeah, it looks great. It really does look great. Really and it's great. Like there's ink 18... version and then the variants of the
it looks
you
like
know,
there
it's...
are there are 18 variants of Stitch.
Okay.
So there's and then 3 of Powderpuff Girls.
And then 6 total if you count the version.
Another James just wanted to shout out to
James. So many James.
Yeah.
So James one game. For every hour of the day, August 13th. You can if you can find a 24-hour comic book store on August 13th. You can go every hour of the day and buy a different James.
Ring it in.
Wow.
You can. Please do.
If they're well, but they have to be well stocked. You have to have all the variants.
And some of those got to be on the farther end of the scale, the high price sneaky variants, I'm sure.
Yeah. Also, like, if they're doing well, by the time you get to 11 p.m., they might be sold out. You might not be able to do the James 3rd.
Yeah, I wouldn't do
24-hour challenge.
It's a bold idea, Connor, but that's perhaps the least effective way to capture all the comics.
Yeah. Just show up and then get them all at once. Home,
24 titles on August 13th.
Yeah, 24-hour comic book store, only in Duckburg. Real quick, from Stray Bullet.
I look in the background, that is a Karl Barks, a reproduction of Karl Barks oil painting on my wall.
Oh, wow. You're nice. Walking the walk. Stray Bullet asks, why is there a can of Barbasol behind James?
Okay, well, the answer to why is clear. Are you kidding? Why is there a Barbasol can behind me? Well, because in the film Jurassic Park, okay? The way that Dennis Nedry transports the viable embryos from the compound is he puts them into a Barbasol can, okay? And this one actually does open up. It doesn't work well, but it opens up and there's little things inside of it.
Oh, nice.
Great. The product placement when it matters.
Behind you. Why isn't there a Barbasol can behind you?
That's true.
Uh-oh, he's mad now. Got it. He's very mad. Look how you roasted him. Connor, what would you like to plug before we go?
I will plug a non-comics but comedy-related thing.
That counts. Fair.
Yeah. Which is I do a one-person improvised show called Connor Ratliff Presents the Acting Class. And it has a YouTube channel where you can see a lot of past shows. It's a fully improvised show that pretends to be a real acting class, but I am being myself in the show. It's not, I don't come in and I'm a made up version of myself. I'm really talking about real stuff, but the show is sort of a mix of crowd work and improvised scene work, demonstrating what acting really is.
Wow.
Fun. Great. You don't get highfalutin at all over the course of being a acting?
I absolutely get highfalutin, but I am being myself.
Oh, wow. What a self-indictment.
Genuine highfalutin.
I've had people tell me, like, oh, when you do, like, this character that you play in the shows, and I'm like, that's me.
Like, no.
And they're like, no, that's not how you are. And I'm like, it's me when I'm teaching an acting class. It's just like if you were looking at a professional athlete, the way they are in conversation isn't that they're constantly trying to throw a ball through a hoop while they talk to you.
that's fair, sort of, I think. I think that's fair.
I do tend to catch myself, because what you find is when you are in, like, teacher-instructor mode, you do slip quite naturally into performative kind of guru mode. But I have usually caught myself whenever I find myself saying stuff to students that is all about maintaining my status and authority over them by really making good, like, meaningless semantic distinctions about what I'm talking about. But it's all towards the purpose of being funny and entertaining. So
yes,
it's not a
it's real very fun, class,
which is about making people feel small.
You're riding a line
that
I'm very
feel
curious.
Like tiny dinosaurs. You're just,
yeah, exactly.
You make them feel extinct. As tiny as a tiny dino.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, guys, thank you for being here. And
James,
good
great
luck.
To see you, man.
Great to see you, Pete.
Great thank to see you both. We'll see us. You all soon out there. So excited for the comic. It looks awesome. And we'll see you on August 13th. And come back again soon and talk about the secret project.
Yeah, please do.
Will, absolutely.
Yeah. Awesome. We'll see you guys soon. Later. That is Connor Ratliff and James III. Their comic Stitch is coming out on August
13th. Two comedy legends, bro.
Yes, New York legends.
Come on, dude.
Now bi-coastal, but great to see people that we know making comics.
Yeah. James went all Hollywood on us, and good for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can tell. He's so Hollywood.
Yeah.
What if everything you've been taught about happiness is wrong? We chase careers, approval, more stuff, hoping it'll finally make us feel fulfilled, but it never sticks. What if happiness isn't out there, but already inside you, just waiting to be unlocked? Discover the book, The Happiness Experiment. Every person has a unique happiness type, and when you understand yours, everything shifts. You'll stop chasing and start creating joy on your own terms. Discover your happiness type with a free happiness type assessment. Go to myhappinesstype.com. That's myhappinesstype.com. It takes just a minute and it might change your life. Then grab your copy of The Happiness Experiment at Books A Million. This isn't just a book, it's a practical framework, a journey inward. It's a tool to help you reconnect with the happiness that's been waiting inside you all along. Pick up The Happiness Experiment and start your happiness experiment today.
But you know what? It's time to move on to a section that is my favorite section because y'all make it up. Please, let's get into audience questions. Yeah,
there's some music.
If you have an audience question, you can just drop it in the comments and we will talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. I'll have some questions about the Montreal Comedy Festival.
Oh, about for me or just in general?
Both. Did you get a chance to see any shows or anything while you were there?
I saw a lot of shows. I saw all the New Face stand-ups. I saw the New Face characters. I worked on the New Faces writers. So I was there for a lot of these up-and-coming comics, which was very cool. Like, it's great to see people who are sort of, you know, it's high stakes for them. And when they can go out there and crush, it's amazing. So that was really cool. Being in Montreal is great. They have this stuff, poutine, that I don't eat.
What?
Not interested.
Come
not
on,
interested.
Dude.
No, put
dude,
it away.
From upstate New York. What are you talking about, dude?
You're gilding Lily. Fries are good on their own. Gravy's great. Put it in a glass, drink it straight. You put it on there with the curds? I want my curds in my mouth without all this other stuff. It's
no
too
way,
much.
Dude.
It's too much.
It's not too much. No, it's a beautiful dance of great things together.
The thing that you actually want to know about is what I ate. I know that. I went and got a smoked meat sandwich at a place called Dunn's, which you're in Montreal, I ate it, and there was just a chemical reaction in my body that I was like, it was joy. It was pure joy. It was like I was a high from it. That's how good it was and rich it was.
Were you staying like across the river like in all the action, or were you on the other side and –
I was right in the heat of it. I was at the Delta Hotel. I ran ran up Mont Royal while I was there.
Oh, yeah, I've done that hike. Yeah, it's
very
awesome.
Fun. Montreal's a great town, truly. Mm-hmm. Very fun town. But what audience questions do we have? Get into them. Oh, did you have any more Montreal questions, Pete?
Well, I just wanted to know if there were anybody you wanted to highlight, some people you were so impressed with, you wanted to be like, yo, check out the young Uzi or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yes. I mean, there were some great character performers. There's this guy he was actually a stand-up. His name is Vittorio Angelone from Ireland, was a stand-up that just absolutely floored me. There's a guy named Alistair Ogden from Toronto who was very good. Ooh, nice. You're going to see Andres Parada, a UCB LA guy, really impressed me. Yeah. Ava Bunn, I think, is a future star. So, like, lots of great stuff happening up there. And, Pete, how was your birthday?
Oh, man. I mean, I ate my way through New York City, so I got to go to some of my favorite spots, so it was just great to kind of be back, you know, hit up Corner Bistro, you know what I mean? Just like get
Corner
some
Corner Bistro, getting that burg.
Come on, man. You got to get a burger.
Great burger.
I got a slice at Prince Street. You know, they got those pepperonis that kind of cup up. Oh, just
great. I mean, it's funny, like, when I was a kid, I was like, the cup up, I was like, yeah, I just get the cup up, whatever. The cup up is special. It's like magic when that.
It's a thicker roni, dude. You know what I mean? I mean,
it's a thicker roni, and it makes a little cup, little soup cup of hot oil gazpacho.
That's right.
You get to have yum yum, little shot of poison right into your mouth hole.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes it's a little marinara gets kind of stuck in that cup, and that's a beautiful thing.
That's a messy pizza you're talking about. Important question coming from Stray Bullet. Where the fuck is Alex? Great question. he's being a daddy right now.
Yeah,
you can take that.
Kids.
You can take that whatever you want it to be. He's just being a daddy.
He has kids, and maybe one of them is their birthday today. So happy birthday to them.
That's one answer. He could also be being a leather daddy in his at his local shop. So those are two options there.
Yeah,
one of
we
them
all know
is
he's really into leather.
Certainly. Audience question, will we be seeing any of these new faces on Characters Welcome? There weren't a lot of New York people in the character program up in Montreal. But, yes, you've seen some of them already. Jess Elgin just did our Pride show, and she was up there in New Faces Characters.
Nice.
We had Ava Bunn at our show out in L.A., which was cool. But you definitely will. I promise that. We're always bringing in the new folks. Characters Welcome, a show that I do on Wednesday nights. As a live stream, and then also once the last Friday of every month at the UCB Theater in New York, live streaming as well. If you want to watch it, it's very fun. And check out our YouTube. Another question from Schreukler, a real audience question. What are your favorite direct-to-video movie series?
Direct-to-video, holy shit.
Which is, you know, that's like an... You could say an antiquated term.
Yeah, I'm going back. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I mean, I wasn't kidding about the direct-to-video Disney series. Now that they're series and sequels, like, there's some fun ones in there. They're they get crazy fast because they just, like, cranked them out.
Yeah, I know there's a bunch because it was like, I mean, you know, that VHS... you know, like we would go to Wegmans and get the rentals all the time. So we were really cranking those out.
Yeah. Again, really, we've been trying to boost you up as a city guy that you went to New York, but you're really hitting bumpkin status.
Dude, when I was walking around New York City, there were so many Wegmans bags, dude. Everyone was freaking out about Wegmans.
Wegmans is absolutely huge in New York.
Yeah, they were walking around like they were trendy bags. They were like, oh, yeah, look at my tote Wegmans bag. I was
you got your Fendi, you got your Gucci, you got your Wegmans.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely true. Stanley says, are you interested in the upcoming DCKO event? This is where we're going to get people just straight up kicking the shit out of each other. Just heroes fighting each other. Yes, I am. I am excited because, you know, something that Connor said earlier in the show about, like, restrictions are actually good for comedy. I think they're good for all art. Like, one of the reasons that Shakespeare was so good is he had a very strict set of rules around him when he was writing, and just like at the time, that's all he could do. And I think doing something like this, where it's like the rules are heroes fight, will make for some just fantastic, surprising issues of comics.
Cool. That is exciting.
Are you excited?
I am excited about this now. I didn't know that it was happening, but yeah, come on. Fighting in comics, it's in my wheelhouse, man.
Yeah, I was going to say, this should be right over the plate for you.
Yeah, this is a hard yes for me.
Well, there you go. The hardest yes of all. Easy Reader says, are there any villains you'd like to see in future FF and Superman movies? Very timely question. These two movies, both Silver Age feature films, you could say, I think. They both were very successful, I think, when it comes to box office and just general vibes, I think. We just put out our Fantastic Four review, which you can hear what our individual opinions are, which did vary a little bit. What I think both movies did was feature a lot of villains already.
Yeah, that's true.
Especially FF. You had Red Ghost, you had Mole Man, you had Mad Thinker.
Well, Red Ghost was cut out of it, so, I mean...
Well, you still... One of his apes was featured in there. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, they're definitely building that world, that very Silver Age-style world where the villains come and go sort of quickly. So what any villains you'd like to see in these future movies?
Well, I mean, you know, we didn't get enough Doom for me in FF. Doom's one of my favorite.
I think that was a purposeful choice.
It was, but I love Doom. I think he's a great villain. I also really think a Silver Surfer is a great villain, or maybe hero, depending on who's writing. But also for like Superman, I love Zod. He's one of my favorite villains. Lex Luthor has to be done right for me. And I really think it's this kind of like intelligence that sometimes gets kind of, they make him more evil than intelligent. And I think that's kind of against who he is for me.
I'll talk about two. I think for Superman, Bizarro feels like something we will probably
get. You don't get tired of the backwards talk after like a couple of seconds, bro. It's I'm always like, Bizarro, yeah. And then I'm like, oh, I hate this. I forgot.
Yes, I agree with you, but I do think James Gunn, if anyone, will handle it well. And I also think that's just a villain we are likely to get. They didn't set it up directly, but I feel like the clone, that thrown in the black hole, is odds-on favorite to come back as Bizarro, I think. So I think that will be fun. For FF, you know, I'm going to give a controversial answer here and say Skrulls. I want to see some. I want Super Skrull. The Skrulls were done dirty in Secret Invasion and all of the stuff that was around that. So, like, I think we can come back and do that better. Super Skrull would be great. And I'm going to say I love the idea of the Elijah storyline from back in the 90s, where Human Torch was dating Alicia on the slide after the thing was like gone for a minute, and then come to find out it was a Skrull named Elijah, and it was a whole crazy twist. It was one of the most dramatic comic book moments I had as a young reader. So I'd love to see that. Yeah. Happy post B-Day, says David Quinley. That could David. Be for you, but it's also for me because my birthday did happen in October, and it's technically post that. So thank you, David. Thank you, David.
Oh, my God.
Michael Tillman says, most exciting news to you out of San Diego Comic-Con?
To me, the most exciting thing I saw was the Galactus. Someone dressed up as a sick Galactus.
Like, yes, that was very cool.
Yeah.
You know, it was a year, I have it right there. Boom. Very cool. It was a strange year for San Diego. The studios weren't doing hardly anything. Felt like there weren't a lot of big comic announcements, so I'm actually going to say the most exciting news was San Diego just maybe going back to more of a Comic-Con is exciting. But B, it's making me think that New York Comic-Con is taking the gauntlet a little bit.
Ooh, yeah.
Which is, that's exciting because we live on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. So I think that brings it a little bit close to home. And shouts to the Eisners. I think that was something that always makes me happy. We got a couple more here that we can bang through. Have there been any ongoing comic series where the events of the comic make you feel like, what the fuck, and made you want to quit reading? Is this a question exclusively for Pete? This is the most Pete-coded question I've ever heard.
Zelbin quit comics for a little bit. Remember when he was like, yeah, so.
Truth. And what comic was that? Was it Secret Wars Zero?
Yeah, something like that.
Or Secret Wars Origin Zero? I don't know if that episode is still out there. We should dig it up and repost it. At least the rant, because Alex went on a rant where he was like, "I'm not good." It was like a network style rant, and he was like, "I'm done." And he was like, "I'll still do the show, but I'm not reading any of these comics." He like fully boycotted. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was. He had that moment
out of control. Definitely, yeah, the biggest, the most unhinged. Maybe the three of us have been, and I'm talking to someone who doesn't even has his hinges very are hanging unhinged. By a fucking thread over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, very unhinged. I mean, yeah, I've yelled at people for very stupid reasons. But yeah, and that's the thing about Stray Bullet. You love something, you've read it for years, you feel like you know it, and then they make a choice that just, you're like, what the fuck? Do you guys not even read the stuff that you do? It's very frustrating. But it's, you know, similar to a lot of things in life where sometimes you got to take a deep breath and be like, hey, man, you know, let's think about this before I do something stupid.
That's really nice. Never do anything stupid. I mean, I'm the opposite. I like when a comic makes me go, what the fuck? I'm like, hell yeah, I'm going to read more of this. The only times I quit reading a comic are when it starts to get a little bit boring or stale. So, like, I want those WTFs. Real quick, Pete, does Pete miss the big city?
Yeah, definitely.
He misses burgers and pizza, something that does exist everywhere, but...
Well, not, you know, it's not done right everywhere. Yeah, I miss a lot of my friends and a lot of the Maven people that I've met, and the food is phenomenal. It's just unfortunately so fucking expensive that it's very hard to live there.
Yeah, we're trying to survive here. I'll say I miss Pete in the city because we used to have a blast every Tuesday night at the Pioneer, where we would drink definitely too much all the time, literally every time. so that was very fun. Very fun.
No longer those people.
Eric MCI 900 has a question of the night for me. Justin, did Higgins take away the Ferrari keys from you again? Shouts to the Magnum PI ref. I didn't realize I found this shirt, and man, I like it, but it's truly a Magnum PI.
You gotta start running around in tight jeans.
Already done, my man.
What just happened? Well, this is interesting. It seems as Justin just hit the end. Hey, you're back. Oh, wow.
So I accidentally hit the leave studio. Could have hit end stream, but didn't. Really good. It's only Pete now.
Oh, my God.
Also one of the few times Justin isn't wearing a ball cap. That's true, but, you know, I don't always need to do that. Any other questions? I don't think so. That's it for your audience questions, folks. Thank you for always being here and saying them. And let's move over to a little section that we call trivia.
That's right. And today's trivia is a little special. We're doing a fun little bonus. Justin, you might want to adjust which mic you're talking out of. You seem a little not yourself. So, but yeah, today's trivia, we're going to do a bonus because the Zelbatron's not here, and Zelbatron always yells at me that this isn't really trivia. So he's not here, so I can lean into that and make this more less like trivia for this special round where we're going to have a bonus option. It's usually three options. Now we're going to do four, and the fourth option is phonuses. That's right. So if you're not sure about a question,
phonuses,
where you, Justin, will be in a character from either his character's Welcome or Mission to Zix, and that character will help you answer the question. So
nice. First off, thanks for everybody saying that my mic switched. You guys are on it. Love to see it. We do have someone who said me, Pete.
Yeah, we got. Looks like we got Easy Reader, so we'll go with that.
Easy Reader.
Man, a stray bullet did it the proper way, but hey, we got to go with first hand up. You know what I mean?
No, the secret quiz doesn't exist. That's, we're done with that, right?
No. There's two remaining secret quizzes.
Oh,
my gosh.
I would like to take the blinds, the window blinds.
Well, a stray bullet. If you would like to take the secret quiz, you got to follow us up. What secret quiz would you like to take? Wow. And then we can kind of do that while I'm doing trivia. That should be fun. But okay, yeah, here really we go. Today's trivia. It's about the King of Yancey Street and a small nod to the legend, Kenneth Colley, R.A.P. Admiral Piet. Please listen to all four options before making your selection. And I just went over the phonuses option. That is possible. So here we go. Easy Reader, whenever you're ready. Here we go. Question number one. The King of Yancey Street is a blank part series. Is it A5? B, I'm sorry, did you just say you are a chode? No? C, Charles Node.
Ooh.
Or D, phonuses.
Oh, great. I wasn't listening, so I'm not going to be very helpful on this one. Oh,
man. You got to listen if you're going to be able to help.
You got
to
listen if you're going to help. Yeah. But I'm in character as someone that doesn't listen ever.
Someone who
doesn't listen hardly at all, who says whatever they want. That is, of course, my character, Old Durf, from the Mission to Zix upcoming. Oh, Easy Reader says A.
He says A. It doesn't go with... I thought for sure we would get phonuses.
No, people are like, I don't want to fuck around giving these quiz answers. Also, everyone's like, the answer is A.
Here we go. Question number two. What is this adventure about? Is it A, a missing girl? B, while your first and last name are kind of the same? C, Randy Feelgood? Or D, phonuses?
Yeah, great.
I wonder if Easy Reader's going to go with phonuses on this
one. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, that's the fun thing about these.
That's the thing. You got to let people do it.
Are you?
Schoikler's shouting out my character. Some characters welcome in the comments.
He's like, do there. Urban Gardner.
Ask the Statue of Liberty's husband, a character that I do like to do. But a regular Brooklyn guy who marries the Lady Liberty herself out in the beautiful harbor. Really good. Phonies.
He's going phonuses. He wants phonuses.
Every time I try to make love to my beautiful wife, the Statue of Liberty, I find that there are increasing holes both in her hard exterior and also in the very idea of America as a metaphor. But I will say, one and done, it's A. A is the answer.
You can bet
any of those pointy little things out of a hat that are always bumping in my butt cheek. That's the Lady Liberties.
The husband's kind of a freak. He likes to. It's autocorrect. Yeah, great. easy reader, you just got to say
A. You know what autocorrect starts with is A.
All right, here we go. Next one. All right, last one. Who is writing this amazing comic about the Thing? Is it A, Tony Fleece and Fleece, B, Ben Grimm, C, George Harrison, or C,
Phonasis? Part two, Phonasis.
Yep.
Also known as Phonies, which is a funny autocorrect.
I like Phonies. You know what I mean? Phonies. Yeah.
Are you're trying to add this to what you got to phone in Alex and see make him do characters as well.
Oh, that's man, that's a fun idea. Yeah, I like that.
Because I think whether you're phonesis or not, I think it's easy to say that I could just give the answer as Ben Grimm from the Fantastic Four, which is just speaking in a near monotone for about 2 hours. Talking about
shots fired. Shots fired. Dude, oh, there is a hot take. He's going Phonasis, dude. He's going with Phonasis.
I love Natasha Lyonne, but I'm not going to do anything except for maybe look at her three times over the course of a two-hour film.
Hey, man, I like the struggle. I like the struggle. He says Phonasis, so are you going to go with the Lake House guy?
I would pick A. Ben Grimm would say pick A because that's what I can do. I'm going to pick A. That's all my whole thing. I catch babies and I pick A.
I catch babies. He says A. You are correct. All right. Well done. Thank you for playing along, Easy Reader. And $25 will be yours. We forgot to mention that part. When you volunteer, you get a $25 gift card to Midtown Comics Online.
And you can just send us an email at comicbooklive if you would like to get your gift card, which is the point of doing it. Am I right?
That is correct.
That's so true. Well, that's the end of trivia right there. Pete, do you have anybody that you were subtly or perhaps not so subtly making a reference to throughout?
Yeah, of course, all the C answers were nods. They're talking about the 1979 legendary comedy, Monty Python's Life of Brian.
Sucking on a cheesesteak.
Really good. Life of Brian.
Now, come on, that's a classic, dude.
I like that reference. That's one that I know about.
Hey.
Folks, we're coming out to the end of the show, but you know what we like to do before we leave is talk about the comics we're looking forward to in the very near future. Pete, what are you looking forward to amongst the absolute slew of comics coming out tomorrow?
Well, I'll tell you what. Two of my favorites that I'm looking forward to, The Last Witch, Blood and Betrayal, number two. Badass Grandmother, check. Yep. Great Adventure and Story, check, check. Magical World, you betcha. What are we waiting for? Let's go.
Really
also,
good.
Also, Spider-Man Wolverine, really loving what they're doing there. And I mean, come on, that art, dude. I mean, that art, come on, that art, bro.
That art. And those guys are best friends. They together are one hot grandma, which is what Pete loves. I'm looking forward to Ultimate Spider-Man number 19. That book has been very fun. I like the introduction of the Ultimate Black Cat. Same with Ultimates number 14, a book that just keeps getting bigger and doing more things that is making me very excited. I'm all in on the Ultimate Universe, especially when we don't have any absolute books coming out. I wanted to highlight News from the Fallout, number two from Image Comics, written by Chris Condon and art by Jeffrey Allen Love. We had them on the show talking about this very cool, interesting book, haunting black and white comic set in the past.
So haunting.
And I got a shout-out, Lazarus Fallen, number two, by Greg Rucka and Michael Lark, picking up on the long-running series Lazarus. Very, very good comic, and I'm so happy that it's back.
And just to kind of clarify, the art on the Spider-Man Wolverine is super type and ends.
Really good. Not snug. I like a snug nanner. You
really?
Know? Yeah, right. That's a fun thing to say. Folks, that's the show. We are doing it like we always do. We are back. I'm hitting all the cues like a professional, even though Alex isn't here. Shout out to our guest, James Massey. You can check out his book, Smokey's Junior Rangers, which will be out in November. Check out the Kickstarter.
Bear.
Smokey Bear, and honestly, stay out of the wildfire range and take care of your fires. And let's not forget to shout out James III and Connor Ratliff, whose book,
yes,
Stitch Number 1, is coming out on August 13th, alongside James' other book, The Powerpuff Girls Summer Special. Definitely check that out as well. Folks, we are always doing this show. We have Comic Book Club news that you can check out every weekday.
Also, nominate Zelvatron for a podcast award, right?
That's right. You can, first off, check out our Patreon, where we chat all day long about things that you could not believe in our Discord. Definitely check that out. And then, yeah, you can nominate Comic Book Club and Comic Book Club News in the Podcast Awards until July 31st, which is coming right up in 2 days, at podcastawards.com. You want to do Comic Book Club in the Comedy and People's Choice category, Comic Book Club News in the Art and People's Choice categories. We have, I think, won one of those awards once because you guys all came through
rock
for us. You guys all rock. But next week, come back, where we have Jordan Clark, who is the creator behind Ahoy's Comics' Ancestral Recall. Check out everything. We just dropped our Fantastic Four review. We've got a draft coming up very soon that you should check out. We'll see you real soon. Good night.